Hey, listeners, I have another great episode for you. Just a heads up, this episode does have some content your children may not have heard before, so you may want to give it a listen before you share it with them. Thanks for listening. Hello, you are listening to the Whole Home Podcast. I've had a request from a listener to make sure I say who I am every episode. And thank you for the feedback, and I do appreciate it. So here you go. I am Laura Letario. In this episode, I am spending some more time with Sarah Catherine Elliott. Thank you all for joining us again. We're going to get into her current garden, of course, but we do have to play a game. And since it's Valentine's week, I have a pile of words here in between us, loosely related to Valentine's Day. And all the words, though, are in Spanish. So I'm going to take you back to Spain and let's test you. So what you have to do is at least get five.
Okay.
And then you win. So let's see what you got. Okay, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Beso.
Kiss.
Yeah. Oh, ding. Okay. Esposo.
Spouse.
Oh, close. No. Husband.
Oh, husband. Okay.
Good job. Good job. Deseo.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. Desire. I'm going to throw some hard ones in there. Okay. Here's the handout. Dia de San Valentín.
Valentine's Day.
Woohoo. Okay. Rosas.
Say it again.
Rosas.
Roses?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good job. Amado.
Oh, I should know this, but I don't.
Beloved.
Oh, beloved. Okay. No, I didn't know it.
Amor.
Love.
Yay. Okay, that's four. Can you do it? Let's give you a hard one. Cita.
I don't know it.
Okay. That is date, apparently.
Oh, date. Okay.
How about regalo?
Boat?
Did you say boat?
Yeah.
No. Gift. You were confident, though. You had me. I'm like, is it boat? Okay. Corazon.
Heart.
Yay, you win. Okay, good job. That's my lame game. Let's move on to 5 minutes of questions. All right, Sarah Catherine, here we go. Do you have a pet peeve right off the bat?
I don't think so. Nothing comes to mind as like, you know, just so irritating I can't tolerate it.
Okay, so you're chill. What are you reading?
Ooh, I just actually started reading these two books kind of that go together. One is The Serpent and Samuel, and the other is The David Story.
I haven't heard of either. Are they newer books or older?
Yes. So The David Story is by Robert Alter, and I've read some of his other things, kind of like how to interpret biblical narrative or more instructional books. And this is a new translation that he did on 1 and 2 Samuel with a lot of commentary. And okay. So then reading it, I forget who.
Do you like it?
I do like it, but I truly just started them both this week.
Okay.
So early on.
What's your favorite soup?
Ooh, anything Asian. I love like Tom Kha Gai, pho. Even wonton soup. I like Asian soups.
Do you make them or buy them?
Both.
There was something with like meat that floats. I tried to make last year. I mean, we all were just staring. It was not good. I need to come have you teach me.
I did make this deconstructed wonton soup recently. That I just thought of when you said meat that floats. But it was like, oh, I don't know. But my husband and I both ate it and really liked it. But the presentation was rough.
Okay. There's hope. All right. What's the last skill you have learned?
Gardening.
Okay. Favorite recent memory?
Really this morning. My husband brought home walkie-talkies for my son, who's obsessed with being a worker. And these actually worked, and they were across the house from each other. He says four really funny right now at age three, and he was doing one, two, fur, come in, one, two, fur, come in.
That's the best. All right, are you still singing Brown Eyed Girl? What's your karaoke song?
No, I will never do karaoke. Singing and dancing, I don't have any talent there.
Yeah. Okay. Two words that describe you.
Two words I'd like to describe me maybe better is quiet and thoughtful.
Last thing you watched on television.
So I'm kind of a loser right now, and I watch a lot of like old sermons on YouTube.
Okay.
So
contemporary or?
Yeah, mainly. There's this guy, Ken, I forget his last name. I'll have to ask Pastor Josh if he's legitimate because I'm not sure. But I was just watching last night. My husband's like, can I at least go to sleep without something like that? But he was talking about the Book of Giants that we found in the in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So there you go.
This is a funny question. What's your middle name?
I don't have one. Technically, I guess in a way it's Catherine, but my mom hyphenated Sarah Catherine and then no middle name, Elliot.
Is there a story behind that?
Yes. You know, I was kind of a doormat, I guess, growing up, and I would never correct people if they just called me Sarah. And my mom was constantly coming behind me, correcting me, and I felt it was very aggressive. And, but she went back and changed my birth certificate to be hyphenated. And I do feel now, like, if someone calls me Sarah, it takes me a minute. I don't realize they're talking to me. It does sound like a totally different name.
Do you collect anything?
No, I am a obsessive thrower-awayer.
Okay. Do you find the match for socks when you do laundry?
I try really hard, and then I save the spares for a while before getting rid of them. So that's one thing I don't throw away immediately.
All right. Are you going anywhere on vacation this year?
I'm not sure. We usually try to do something with my husband's cousins, but because I recently found out I'm pregnant, I'm not sure, like, financially we might do some home things instead. We'll see.
Congrats.
Thanks.
What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
I'd like to tell you it is this reading nook in my front living room, but it's probably my bed.
Hey, sometimes people have really terrible beds, so I'm glad you've got a good one. What is a book or resource that influenced you, if you could narrow it down?
So, I mean, I feel like I have to mention the Bible, but that's also a cheating answer. I think there's been a lot, but one that I read recently that was really significant was The Gospels as Eyewitness Testimony. Mm-hmm. That was a really good one and really hard, and I'll probably have to read it again. But
oh, like dense?
Really dense, yeah.
Okay. Is there something people typically don't know about you?
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty open.
All right. If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
I don't know if I want to become an expert, but like something I'd like to learn that I don't know, I think would be pottery or basket making.
Basket making?
Yes. Recently, okay. I've just kind of been Googling about it.
What kind of basket do you want to make?
All different kinds. You know, I saw someone, my husband's old boss's wife, her mom died, and she was like trying to find someone to buy her basket, making supplies. And she's like, they're worth thousands, but nobody really does that anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, thousands? Yeah. Wow, this is actually a really cool trade.
Yeah.
And just kind of like stayed in the back of my mind. I don't know if I want to be an expert at it, but I'd like to learn more about it.
Expert basket weaver. All right, what do you eat for breakfast? What's your go-to?
Normally soft-boiled eggs, which gross out a lot of people, and I like to have them with like either seasoned salt or hot sauce and capers.
Hot sauce. Oh.
It's I've delicious. Never had you that. Should try it.
Okay. You're opening up my like food category world here. So what restaurant would I find you at then in the city?
I do like so much different kinds of food, but my son pretty much takes over our restaurant choices now, and we get to go out, and he says, let's go for chips and salsa.
Mexican. Yeah. All right. How about a place in scripture encouraging to you?
Psalm 1.
Nice. The tree part?
And also just like meditate on the Torah day and night. Like I say that to myself over and over again, especially because the first five books of the Bible have been so significant to me.
Yeah. Beautiful. Two musicians on your playlist.
Again, I'm going to preface this with I'm a loser. I have changed all of our music to Christian music because I've seen what it's done in our house. And I found that I really like some Christian rap. So okay. I listen to a lot of Holvey and Forrest Frank these days.
Okay. You are a cultural woman. That's amazing. Oh, wait. Where's my bell? Okay. Awesome. How about let's go to your neighborhood. Where do you live and how long have you been there?
I live in Skipwith Farms. It is like right near Henrico Doctors Hospital. And we will have lived there for 8 years in April.
That's a decent amount of time. Okay. Who's in your household?
Me, my husband, Jamie, and my son, Teddy. And we have a dog, Cooper.
Nice. And just if you want to share again, if that's okay, how long you've been coming to Remnant and who invited you?
It will be 1 year in April. And Jamie and TJ Hall invited me.
and whose community group are you in? I'm sorry.
So Jamie many questions. And TJ Hall.
Okay. All right. So we're going into your garden and we'll start with the planning section. As you look out and survey your land, what desires and dreams do you have?
I have really been praying for a long time for another child. And now we do have one on the way. So that definitely came to mind. And then also, I think my husband for a long time has wanted me to have like an entrepreneurial spirit, which I just have not really had. But I do have this desire to maybe have a library of sorts, specifically a Christian library, which I told you a little bit about. Mm-hmm. But as I've gotten more into learning about theology and have been consumed with reading more nonfiction biblical things, books are expensive. And also there's been some that I can't get my hands on. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we had like a remnant library or something?
Yeah.
And then also just the more books that I read, I find myself wanting to tell people about them. And if I could just be a little librarian there, I'd yeah. do that.
I'm even finding that honestly for kids. I go to the library so much and I keep running into not being able to find what I'm looking for at the library. Yes. And I can imagine that's similar for other Christians or homeschoolers or
yes.
so forth. So I literally was just talking to someone yesterday. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to start a library? Who knows?
We need it.
We will pray.
Yes.
God, let us know. All right. Well, as far as your family expansion, is that, you said you've been praying a long time. Does that mean like a year, years, your whole life for two kids?
Since maybe like a year or two, a little over a year. I think the term that Pastor James and Pastor Doug used was a dink. I mean, that's pretty much what my husband were going to be. We had just like a few months before I found out I was pregnant with Teddy, had like maxed out his 401k, maxed out my Roth IRA, and we were going to retire at 59 and a half. Part of when I married my husband, I thought that I was giving up was the opportunity to have kids, because he wasn't really, you know, he had a really rough childhood and he was unsure about being a dad and all of that. So we were pleasantly surprised but also scared when we found out that I was pregnant with Teddy, but I knew I didn't want to have an only child.
Yeah.
And then once I met Teddy, I was like, I gotta get more of these.
Yeah.
But my husband was pretty much like, unless there's twins in there, this is gonna be it. So I'd been praying for a while, and I just turned 40 in December. I thought it wasn't gonna happen, and I was pretty much had told myself like, I'm just gonna stop asking at mm-hmm. a certain point. And then a week later I found out I was pregnant.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. I remember you saying in the earlier podcast that you've dreamed of being a mom your whole life. And so this probably blew your mind to imagine just more a bigger family and so on and so forth. But you said your husband maybe didn't want any. Was that something that you're like, well, I love him, I'm gonna...
Yes. I remember my dad telling me like early on in our, you know, Jamie and I have been dating a few years. He said, your loyalty to him is kind of crazy, but also admirable. And so I think I had like a misunderstanding of maybe what loyalty was, mm-hmm. is maybe what he was trying to get at that. Like, I don't think I had to give that dream up to marry my husband or to, you know, I think there are just some things that I laid down, and that was one. And probably part of that says like the selfishness that I had become. Like, I was comfortable in my 30s and the vacations that we could take and how we were spending our money. And
yeah.
It was scary to think about having a shift and responsibility for that. And so maybe it's not fair for me to put that all on him and say I just gotten comfortable in my selfishness too. Yeah. And that dream had kind of sunk down to the bottom.
So what have you been enjoying about motherhood?
Well, I mean, really, every day is exciting. There are definitely, like, some lonely times. My husband works out of town, so he leaves at 4:30 in the morning, and he doesn't get home normally until 8 o'clock at night, and he works some Saturdays, too. So that's why when I prayed for Eleni Meister, like, she was so life-changing for me, mm-hmm. is because we were having a lot of lonely days. But I love what it's done to me. Like, I mean, I do really think it is God's cure for selfishness, and I just had no idea how selfish I had become. I mean, it's made me a better person all the way around. It showed me a kind of love that I could never have fathomed without it, both a love that I have for him and that he has for us. I mean, it's just
yeah.
crazy, God's design and all of these things that he builds into relationships for us, and everything about it really has been a blessing.
Yeah. All right, back to this library. So where is this going to be in your mind?
I don't know. So I've actually thought a little bit, because my husband has like really pushed me to open a day spa for a long time. Oh. Like even before we got married, and when I was working as a manager, he all the time was saying, stop working for someone else and let's just, and I just didn't want to. Something about me just liked the idea of ultimately someone else is more responsible than I am mm-hmm. for. So I've thought about like, how could I listen to what is a desire of my husband's? It would also bring him back to Richmond, so he wouldn't be traveling so much. And also now becoming a believer, I do have a different perspective on Christian businesses and the need for them. And so I thought, could I have a day spa with a quiet room library? Like, first which book. I think I can't quite connect to those ideas in my mind. But anyway, these have been lingering, but definitely I think it would be in the city.
Awesome. I don't know what that would be either. But I mean, one of the things that I love about being creative or entrepreneurship is that you usually, like, the things that are going to catch are, I don't want to say new things, but you don't have to think about it in this traditional way. You can do something a little different. We're launching something this year, and advice that my husband got is be all the way different and just go forward in it. And that's really encouraging and scary and all the things, but you can be the first. You can start something.
Yes, because all spas have a quiet room, or all good spas have a quiet room. So I don't know. Why shouldn't it be a library, and especially a library of God's literature?
Yeah. Well, what is the role of books in your life? Why do you think this is a dream that you have?
I've always really liked to read. I think even like when we talked about my childhood kind of being a little bit more reclusive, like I would much rather than play sports or be out with a bunch of friends, be curled up somewhere in my house reading a book and just getting lost in a story. I loved when we would go on long car trips. I would have like a stack of books and I could pass the time so quickly. I really want that for my own child, to develop the love of reading and just see how it can take you places.
Yeah.
I just think it's magical. And even into, you know, my rebellion period, I was still reading a lot. It just wasn't reading the kinds of things that were good for my heart or mind. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a place for non-Christian books for sure. But I've just had such a transformation recently that I want to fill myself up with all this, because for decades I've been filling myself up with garbage. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a while, I think, before I have any swaps.
Well, that's really cool about the thought of someone taking initiative to bring books together to a singular place, is that other people don't have to do all the work to find these resources. I remember a period of time in our life where my husband and I, we felt very alone in certain desires that we had and didn't realize how many Christians were out there that had similar desires that have been for generations, like pursuing certain kinds of things. And I'm talking specifically about art and theology. And then finally, it was like a lightning rod. I don't know how many years ago, maybe 5. God was like, okay, I'm going to give you all these books. And now I'm like, we're overwhelmed by how much is out there that we just didn't know. So Ryan even thinks about that, of like having a library someday that people can come to where they don't have to wait years and years and years and years to find like-mindedness or guidance or help. Or it's good to like be connected to those who've gone before us.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's a really good way of saying it.
Let's see. How about, I love how you put a little spin on my sewing section. You wrote in your notes, planting. So what are you planting?
I had to kind of twist the whole thing for me to answer these questions well, I think, and to look at it from God's perspective.
Sure.
And so what I think he's been planting in me is a love for people, for his people, but for all people, which is not something that I've had in a long time. What I talked to you about before is I felt really, I had a lot of social anxiety. I thought that was okay. That was just who I was. Mm-hmm. And that's not something I had to change. It didn't affect others. And I've had a total spin, or God's given me a total spin on that perspective. And I also wrote, faith is an anxiety cure, because I don't know if you've seen those shirts that are like, faith kills anxiety. And I used to see them and I thought they just meant like, kind of straightforward what they're saying. But I think for me, my personal experience was first, it killed my anxiety because I got to see that I am not the main character in this story.
Okay.
And that God is, and that gave me a whole shift. I have a mission, I have a purpose. But then also just if I'm doing what he's telling me to do, which is to serve others, then I don't have so much time to think about myself and what other people think about me. And without trying, I've just noticed that my anxiety has kind of drifted away for the most part. Every once in a while, you know, Satan will use an opportunity for it to kind of linger up. But for the most part, it is not something that affects me at all anymore. And that's a miracle.
It's interesting that you talk about stories and you mention yourself as a character. So you're saying thinking about the grand story of God didn't force you to zoom in on your own character. You're almost able to not focus on yourself. That's an interesting
way. I mean, it made me see God as the main character, really, of the story, and that I am just, I know this is can be like a dangerous perspective too, so I don't want to get too carried away, but I just thought like different choices in my life, like I could have made almost any choice. My love story with my husband has been like a really intense story for me. I felt we were very Romeo and Juliet. He was from the wrong side of the tracks, like all this. These details are not important. I could have carried out God's mission for me, and I think we all can with almost any other person that loves God. All these like choices and decisions, I'm very happy that I ended up with my husband. I don't mean to say it like that, but I just was putting so much focus on myself, and I am just a minor backdrop extra in this grand. And I know I'm thankful that God wants to use me and he wants to make me, he loves me in a way that makes me more important than I actually am, but not in the way that I thought.
Right. Well, that's a remarkable shift from this lifetime. It sounds like you were sharing your last episode of longing for significance.
Yes.
You just said it so easily.
I mean, really, he's changed everything about me. It's amazing.
Yeah. Can you tease out some of those words from Faith as an Anxiety Cure? You said that you don't read it the same way it would be on a shirt. What do those words actually mean to you then?
I think if you have real faith in the God of the universe as the greatest thing out there, and you understand his mission and his mission for you as an individual, for us as a people, that there's no way, and this is maybe going to be offensive, but there's just no way that you could be anxious for anything. Like if you understand how he cares for us, what our purpose is, like how unimportant on the grand timeline, which even God has made me question what is time, but this life that I'm in is just the tiniest little dot of significance, and what a waste it is to spend any amount of worry on it.
Right. If I could hear the sound of Jesus' voice, I mean, his voice is all over the scriptures, like, don't worry, fear not, take heart, over and over and over again, and he really wants us to believe that and trust him. Sounds like you're doing that. Sounds like you're reading your Bible. Well, back to this love, if you don't mind going back to this love that he's, you know, he's, love is dwelling in you now. Like he has planted it. So now it's starting to grow and it's new. How is this a seed of faith that you haven't maybe seen fully grown up yet? Because I'm sure it's not like snap of the fingers, maybe, or maybe it has been for you.
No, it's been, so actually started out, Ashley Anderson said in our community group that they needed some help with remnant kids. And I'm going to be honest, that is not where I would have signed up. But I thought like, okay, God, let me not just do what I want to do. Let me do what is needed. And that, I mean, I told you that's how I met Eleni Meister. That's how I met the Kesters. I really have gotten to be friends with Peyton Kester also. She was on my list.
Do you know she's my neighbor?
Yes, yeah. She told me that. So it started off by signing up for childcare and then later building care. But you know what has been like the most amazing way that I feel like God has blessed me or changed me through serving is through these take them a meal things.
Oh, okay.
I sign up for everyone I see. And because my husband is gone, he's never home for dinner. So it's like something like by that point in the day, we're like dragging our feet. What are we going to do? And I don't want to just turn on the TV for my child, but I'm like wanting a break.
Yeah.
He's not napping right now. So we can go deliver a meal and he will sometimes take a cat nap in the car. And I've also, of all the people, only one of them I've known. So that's like another way to kind of meet and have community. And it's just been really amazing because I prayed. Well, first I listened to Pastor James's old sermon on how to make friends. And then ultimately it's summed up with, have you asked God for them? So I started praying for it. And then as I followed the remnant steps for like get in a serve group, make sure you're in a community group. And I started praying. Then friends have come through all of these different ways of service. So what I thought I was doing and was doing by following the Lord's instruction has also been a way that he has blessed me and given me the desires of my heart. So it's been really cool to see that.
How did you find that sermon? Did you know to look for it or was it accidental?
You know, I've just like really, I've just flooded my life. Like I replaced all my TV, all my books, all my music with God-centered things. So when I would run out of different like old, you know, YouTube sermons or different pastors to watch, I just opened the Remnant app and started going back to ones that just piqued my interest, not necessarily following in any proper way. And I remember my husband telling me at some point, he's like, please don't get too crazy with this. Because I'm sure it was scary for him to see me go from like no emotional regulation, lying about taking a prescription drug, worrying about the safety of his son, to now this full flip into, I'm sure he was like, is this like some weird cult shift that we're having where she, you know, I'm sure it was scary for him. But I think now he doesn't think that, you know, now that he's seen them. But yeah, so when I saw how to 20 ways to make friends or whatever it was called, I thought, ooh, click, that was for me.
Awesome. So you had also written on here, like literally you wrote cultivating relationships with others and you already shared where you started. Why did you feel like this was important in your life, that you needed relationships, not just Jesus?
I think one of the many things that I missed about God in the first 30 whatever years of my life is that he calls us to relationships. And I see that actually God has given me a lot of opportunity to talk about him now and people who are just already in my life, whether it's my husband's cousin's wives or people who are a little bit curious about the change that they've seen in me. And one area that always ends up being difficult is whether or not they really have to go to a church. And my opinion on that, and it's, I see a change in their face. They don't like what I have to say about it. But I think it's not really what I have to say about it. It's what the Bible clearly states that he is requiring of us if we are really to be his followers. And so just understanding that was like unlocking a key for me.
First John is definitely pretty clear. I deep dived into that book in recent months and it's really, I guess, a straight ruler if you want to put it like that, and either conform to it or you're lying if you say that you do and you don't. I don't know. You have to change. That's something that I've been really thinking on a lot about faith, is like faith means I change. Like I have to be moved. If I believe, I will move. I will change. I will be more like Jesus. Okay, are there any other things that helped you with cultivating friendships? So you are newer to the church. I was wondering if you would just spend a little more time maybe for ladies that are newer to the church family, that walking in the shoes you walked in, and just, yeah, linger a little longer in what it was like to step into this new.
Yeah, I think it was really scary for me because, like I said, who I was before was not someone who was outgoing. I liked to kind of hide in the shadows behind the scenes. And when I came to Remnant, there was no obvious path for me where I could do that. I was going to have to be a little bit more bold and I was going to have to seek out community. Yeah. And I don't mean that as a negative to Remnant. They do set up ways with serving and community group for you to do that. But for instance, my community group that I was going to, which I think, or it am going to, I think is very important for me. Jamie and TJ know a lot about my past and can hold me accountable in certain ways that maybe just going to a different community group wouldn't have done for me.
Sure.
But they're also like 35 minutes away from my house and there were no other stay-at-home moms in that group.
Okay.
So they were working full time and living half an hour away from me, and I was really lonely. And my husband was also working far away from me, and I had just quit my job, and I'm at home with a toddler, and I'm trying to figure out what, you know, the friends that I had before, I'm not really wanting to spend time with them. And honestly, they're not really wanting to spend time with me anymore either. So
they're like tabernacle. What? Yeah.
So I thought, like, I don't know if there's a place for me here. And I remember I talked to Pastor Mike and I said, hey, I'm just wondering, which was really out of character for me, but okay. Is there a ladies Bible study around here? Do you know of any like strong Christian women who want like a little minty to, you know, and I really like the Old Testament. If you know of an Old Testament Bible study, he said, yeah, I know a strong Christian woman who loves the Old Testament, my wife, and she has a Bible study on. So I started going to that. Now, actually, Eleni Meister, Cassidy Mayland, Chloe Gribble, and I do a Tuesday morning. We do one of the Bible Project classrooms with our kids there on Tuesday mornings. I just think, like, I don't know. I can't believe it hasn't even been a year. Like, when I think to where I was, even just in June.
Did they start that for you?
So Eleni and Chloe have a friend who is kind of new agey. I guess she used to be a believer and is struggling. And Eleni was asking me some questions about my friend who, and I started telling her about this class I had done by myself on Bible Project. And I brought out my notes and she started doing a little bit on her own. And we started talking like, wouldn't it be great if we could find some childcare and we could do. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, like, I've been dying to do this with people.
Yeah.
And so I think it had to pique her interest first for a minute. But, you know, I want to think we're doing it for each other. Like that. It's been really cool.
Well, even what you just shared is like a perfect picture of the point of, yeah, we need each other. We have to push on each other. And then the fact that it actually required something of you. You had to bring your notes. You didn't have to just be like, hey, is this cool? And she's like, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to bring this up again. You know, I don't know. I could get easily discouraged. I have a lot of ideas. And yeah, I just want that immediate affirmation of like, yes.
So that was like July. And then we just started in January. So it did take some time. And I'm sure too, like from her perspective, she's a woman that I think of as being faithful to God her whole life. And I had told her my story. So it's like, you can't come in somewhere brand new and have all your ideas and longings met. I mean, I do understand that. I remember working when people would come to work for our spa for the first time and they'd have ideas like, you know, it'd be a more efficient way for this. And and you just say like, work here for a little bit, see what it's like, and then come back to me with these ideas because I do want to hear them. But I want you to know, like, I want you to get the full, you know, this is your second week. So so I thought, I saw myself in that when I'm telling her like, this is the most amazing class. Sure. Da, 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 da. But she humored me and she, you know, and she looked it over and then she started listening to it a little bit herself. And we talked about it again and we ended up coming back to it. But it's something that I really prayed about, like before I even came to Remnant. This class in particular was like really mind changing for my understanding of the Bible. And it shook my faith a little bit at first, but then it totally solidified, like understanding exactly how we got the Bible. What is this book? Mm-hmm. And I was very passionate about it. And I just was like begging God, please give me some women to study this with who have maybe more of a solid faith than I am, but that we can discuss it and we can all learn. And I just felt like he told me like, yeah, you're going to do this class a few times.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been meaning to look into it. Something that sort of lingers in the back of my mind too. Well, a lot of the things that you're talking about in this planting section, as I was looking over it, I just felt like I was in the New Testament with you. I just feel, I don't want to say feel, but it seems to me like there's just so much scripture in what you're talking about. You're talking about being part of a church. You're talking about loving people. You're talking about serving. You're talking about walking in faith. And I don't know, I just see so much of like the New Testament letters in there and like what it means to live your life out as a Christian in the church. And I was very encouraged by what the Spirit is doing in you and how he's causing you to grow and flourish in obedience. It reminds me even of like what Paul says is, there's a phrase somewhere he's like, I'm praying that you'd be stirred up for love and good works. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a picture of you. Like you're just being stirred up for thank love you, and Lord. Good works. And yeah, something's cooking. anything else you want to share there?
That summed it up.
Okay. One last thing before we move on is this whole planting or sowing idea, however you want to look at it, it does require a lot of faith to believe that this thing that looks like nothing, that is really small, is going to grow. And as my husband and I have been talking about faith recently, he's talking about Christians should be living in optimism and joy. Like, we actually do expect that God is going to grow us, and that this is not a hopeless situation, because God has fulfilled and is fulfilling his promises, and we trust in him, not people. And I feel like you mentioned something like that affected you in the sermon James said earlier. What was that line you said about faith?
Oh, faith is not the belief in the existence of God, but in his goodness.
Yeah. And I think that goodness is, he's not a liar. He does what he says he's going to do, and he is working. Yeah, I have a lot of more thoughts on faith. It'll probably come out as we talk, because ever since the Hebrews series for me, I personally can't stop thinking about that word. I really just keep turning it over and over and over in my mind. I'm like, I want to grasp it. I want to see it more fully. So yeah, I'll probably mention some more things as we keep going, but let's move on to the watering section of just like faithful activity in your life. So what are you actively tending, stewarding, praying about?
I think just God's word in general. I've never really in my life before this past year had a desire to read the Bible. It was always more of a chore or like hunt and peck for, you know, versus sure. relevant to whatever I was feeling or worried about. And I'm just, I guess, a little bit nervous that I'm going to lose this love of his word. So I just want to stay in it. Mm-hmm. I want to be consumed by it. And I want to, sometimes I find myself like accidentally saying Christian rap lyrics. Okay. I want to accidentally say the Bible. Like, I want okay. my thoughts, like my mind, my heart, everything to be so consumed with meditating on the Bible that I even accidentally speak it out sure. like that.
So how are you watering that?
I think definitely studying with other women. I hope that I'm going to be able to do some sort of study with my husband. I think, you know, it's something I'm praying about that is kind of far off, but I hope it's not as far off as I feel it is. He's, his participation in church and even community group is way above what I ever thought it would be. And he's been really excited by the Genesis series, which, I mean, again, I wouldn't have thought, you know, I'm telling him, like, this is what scooped me up. I've been loving.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the discussions that we've been able to have afterwards, like, are just discussions I never thought that I would have with my husband ever. So I think just continuing to stay plugged into it. And also, I think, you know, we're called not to just read it quietly in our rooms. Not that we shouldn't do that, but I mean, I think we're supposed to be discussing it with each other. Yeah. Maybe we're going to have some differing of opinions, but we're supposed to be kind of like pulling it apart and understanding it in community. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really trying to do that.
And something that I learned as I've just been studying on education is that, well, one, you only really know what you can tell or share. And so, I don't know, I guess if we can talk about God's word, it probably, it seals things in your mind in certain places, like stores it. Sorry, I don't have all the language to,
yeah,
know how to say, but it like stays in a certain part of your brain and like long-term memory. That the science on it is like, if you share your knowledge, it gets stored in like the long-term memory. I grew up just an input person. I didn't have anybody to talk to. So I think so much just went like, whoop, short-term memory, shoop, short-term memory, you know, but, so yeah, sharing it, talking about it. And then so much of the Old Testament wisdom, I feel like, is remembering is like to make something a part of you. Like, so you're like doing it again, make it part of you again, make it part, I don't know. Now I'm going off on a tangent.
No, I think it's relevant.
But, so yeah, I'm just kind of curious though, if you did have the Bible your whole life, when did you see it as one complete?
It definitely was in the past year and a half or so. Like, I remember even from this group text I was telling you about, when they were, you know, different friends that were on there were saying like, well, you know, Jesus learned actually his miracles when he studied in India. Or like,
yeah.
Or, you know, the Bible is this or that. And I remember saying, like, no, the Bible is a story about a prophet to come. And the only difference is that Christians believe he's already come And that's where the New Testament comes in, and Jews are still waiting for him. And one of my friends who was on there was like, well, why do you get to decide what the Bible is actually about? And it had just never occurred to me that people were deciding what the Bible. So sure. I did somehow have an understanding that this is what the Bible is about, that it was one, but only in word. In my mind and in meeting, it was not. The Old Testament and New Testament were not really connected. The Old Testament was like a history book, kind of, more of these like, you know, explanation stories for why we have rain now, or why that might, you know, every culture might have that sort of thing, except I believe that, you know, Christians were true. I did not see it as really telling the story of Jesus, even though I might have professed that with my mouth in this. And so it's just interesting to see how God caught my brain up and my heart up to these things that had been taught to me, but I didn't really understand.
I did want to say really quick that I shouldn't say that only the Old Testament talks about remembering.
Oh, God, yeah.
Of course, also the whole of scriptures does that. What about, you said that something being watered in your life would be, do you want to read what you said in your own words?
Oh, total reliance on God or relying on him for all things.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
You wanted to make sure that it was stated both ways. So do you want to share more about that?
So I think, you know, what I first was looking to rely on God was for how to be a wife and how to be a mother. And that is main parts of my life. And he has done that. I mean, he's still teaching me. But I've learned too, like, even in small ways, another change that happened is partially with my conversion, or whatever you'd like to call it, and partially with just becoming parents. The way that we were spending our money needed to change and was changing. And we were really struggling, while we both saw that a change needed to happen, we were really struggling with what that change would look like, where we were going to give. My husband does like to give money specifically to hungry poor kids, because he was a hungry poor kid.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily want to give a big chunk of money to the church. He's much more skeptical in that way.
Sure.
And also, like, where are we going to cut out spending, where we've been spending very selfishly for ourselves, as, you know, dual income, no kids for this long period of time. Even before we were married, we were living together and had a shared income. So these habits have been long.
Yeah.
And I was just really struggling to feel like, I mean, I was doing kind of like maybe passive aggressive things. Like I felt like he was being wasteful in certain ways. So I started like giving away our money before he had a chance to spend it. One in particular that made him really mad was when I gave away to like Middle East rescue efforts, and we got a phone call that we were like one of the largest donors. And he can laugh about it now too, but at the time I didn't even realize like that it was a passive aggressive move. I just thought like, don't worry, God, I'm just gonna get it out of our bank account before he has a chance to blow it.
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, like, we've had some conversations, and finally I just realized, like, I should be going to God for this. Like,
yeah.
In everything, I can rely on God. And while, I mean, it's so cliche to say, like, nothing is, you know, too big for God. But I do think there are certain things that I thought were too big or too small. Even if I wouldn't have said that like that with my mouth, I would have told you that I didn't. But I didn't really see a way, and I still struggle to see a way, how God is going to fix this financial mismatch we have right now. Yeah. But at least I'm going to God with it now and asking for his guidance and asking him to make a way.
Yeah, because you wrote the word reliance twice. Well, rely and then reliance. I was like, I'm going to look this up. So I looked up reliance, and it comes from a Latin word. I sound so silly. Latin word, regulare. To bind or tie fast. And it means to rest with confidence as when fully satisfied of the veracity, integrity, or ability of persons to trust or depend. So how does that sound to you?
I like it. I like the bind to. That gives me a good picture of what I want to be happening.
I was thinking of, okay, so that's the positive definition. So the opposite would be to, like, I guess, be suspicious or mistrust.
Yeah. Yeah.
And always, and I feel like that, well, to bring it back to, like, how to be a good wife, or you'd be the nagging woman. You know, you're always going to be like, okay, God, but you always have something to say, your finger raised, your hand raised in the background. Like, I don't like how this is going or something like that.
And that is a struggle for me.
Yeah. And not to just, like, rest in what's unfolding, even if it seems, beyond control, your control. Like, that's something I struggle with, too, is just sitting patiently with my hands folded and at peace or whatever. Can I just bring in something you didn't share in your notes to me? Is the first time I met you, somehow gardening came up. I really don't remember how we started talking about it, but you mentioned that something that God had done in your life was make you care about watering plants. Mm. And I thought, okay, well, that fits in this section. Yeah. Something being watered. So do you mind sharing what you shared with me, if you can remember
it? Sure. I don't remember exactly what I shared with you. This is, like, kind of been a story that my husband and I have both told. You know, my husband's love for plants happened long before mine. And I would be a little resentful about it, especially when he gave me plants as gifts. And I would intentionally leave them outside when it was time to bring
them. Yes, that's the story. That's the one.
Did I? Or I would give them away, which was a little bit better. And I felt no shame in this. And I think, like, when God, like, scooped me up and gave me an appreciation for all life, I remember my husband was like, wow, like, I think you finally got your dad's green thumb. Mm. And I was like, no, I didn't. Where has it been for all these years? Like, God has just changed my heart. And I now, I mean, this past summer, my husband had to cut me off from gardening boxes. He said, like, this is your last one. Because, I mean, it's just been amazing the night and day from, like, loathing plants as, like, one more life I had to care for to mm-hmm. now, like, just taking our yard over with life.
I love that story. Thanks for sharing it. Sure. Do you want plants as gifts?
Yes, I absolutely want plants as gifts now.
Awesome. All right, let's move to this training, pruning section of the things that you think don't feel good, but they are good for you.
I think one in particular really stood out to me here, and that was obedience to my husband, just general respect for him and his role. I think this is something that I said that I was longing for was, like, I would have told you that I've never had an issue with submission and that I saw my parents do this very well and that is exactly what I was looking for. But actually, I struggled big time with it. And even with parenting, I thought, well, I came from a good family with a good upbringing and good parents, and my husband didn't. So let me just give him some direction here on how to follow. And he would, you know, we would have these conversations. And he would actually have a really good heart about it and say, like, okay, I'm going to try to be more present when I come home from work or whatever. And then I would just be critiquing it, like, well, and he would get so frustrated, like, I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And I'd say, yeah, but that's not how I pictured you doing it. And let me give you some pointers. As if I know anything. I mean, the whole reason that I ended up here is because I had no idea how to be a good mom, despite what was modeled for me. So I think that's been a real struggle for me. I think partially because I didn't know it was even a struggle for me. I really pictured our marriage as, like, I was the one doing everything right, and if only he would come around.
Right, yeah.
And it really, again, took God to shift my perspective on myself and my marriage. But one little exercise that I wrote down that I do that helps me sometimes, like, because sometimes in Ephesians 5, I'll find myself getting caught up on that submit to one another part. And so I like to do a little thing with the rest of the verse where I switch out the wording just to give myself, like, a perspective. And it goes like this. Husbands, submit to your wives as to the Lord. For the wife is the head of the husband, as the church is also the head of Christ. He, the church himself, being the savior of the body. And then I'm like, okay, here we go. And it's so silly, I know, but it really does reset something in my mind. First of all, it makes me laugh. And then also it gives me perspective that that's not what they're saying as submit to one another. These are not interchangeable roles for you where it's like you have a little more knowledge here. He has a little more. It is all the time I am supposed to submit to him.
Yeah.
And it is still a work in progress. And I think, like, just awareness. Finally, like, that obviously had to happen first, because I would have, you know, a year or so ago, I would have told you I absolutely was submissive. So first, like, awareness of how wrong I was and, like, my own rebellion. But then also God just keeps giving me opportunity after opportunity for submissiveness to him. So I think even with his job, sometimes I get, like, again, caught up in selfishness of, like, thinking, like, you know what? Maybe he likes being away from us. Maybe he'd rather do that than be with us. And I get stuck in my head, and then it affects the way I treat him. Mm-hmm. And just, like, intentionally practicing thankfulness to him for the sacrifices that he is making. He drives 4 hours a day to provide for us. I don't think that I could be a stay-at-home mom if he didn't have this job, or if he was working in Richmond, or that would really... we'd really be having some financial fights trying to, so just keeping that perspective, and God is setting me straight when I get off, and it doesn't always feel good. It usually doesn't, but I am thankful for it, and I know it's right, and the after effect does feel good.
Yeah, the story's still unfolding too.
Yes.
Which my husband said something recently about insisting that Jesus act a certain way and my life is just wish fulfillment. And I don't know, like, God, kind of like you're sharing, like, he gives us the clear path of, like, what we're supposed to do. And as you're reading in Ephesians, it's really clear. It's just like, okay, doesn't mean, is it easy though? But it's still clear, and it's ordered obedience that God will bless. And yeah, we're like, can we just, or at least me, like, can I just work around that and, you know, get what I want, and then I'll do what you say? I don't know. But something else that kind of made me think in this training section is like, about, like, practice. Like, even if you said your heart isn't, like, all the way there yet, scripture also is clear that we are to practice our like faith, to work out our faith with fear and trembling. John says it clearly, Second Peter says it clearly, and so I've been thinking, like, practice, practice, practice. And even the mightiest wall begins with one brick, which is still made up of, like, little particles of dust. And we're like, oh, just dust, like, how do you get this magnificent wall? Well, you know, it had to start with the formation, like, pulling these things together, like, one, like, I'm looking at a brick wall behind your head right now, and they got there somehow, you know, the clay or whatever, and it was formed by someone. And so, yeah, I just even wanted to read 1 John 3:10. It's really short, but it says in there, like, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So even God is very clear of, like, what we are to do. And then again, if we go to the alternative, like I just did in the other section, if you're not practicing righteousness, or, like, literally what, practicing what is not his ways, or John even says it, like, you're practicing sin, which encourages me somehow.
Yeah.
In there. I'll let you talk now.
No, I think that's right. You've got to be practicing something.
Mm-hmm. And so, and when you practice, so it doesn't mean you're good at it, but it means you're deciding to do it. My daughter is trying to learn basketball. And so she goes out and she dribbles, I don't know, every day, and she practices and practices it, and she drops the ball a whole lot. Mm. But she goes out day after day after day, and I've, like, peek when she's not looking, and she is getting better. It's like that faithful practice till, yeah. Also, just, like, that we can't predict, like, your husband's path or anyone else's path. Like, could you have even predicted your own, you know?
Yeah.
So... yeah, we got to let that story unfold and, like, keep stepping. Like, my husband, I keep talking. I'm sorry. This is your podcast.
No, this is a conversation.
Like I said, I keep turning faith over in my mind. And so as I'm saying some of these thoughts to Ryan, the new thing I'm thinking about, he's like, it's kind of like the air ground control, where we, like, faith is kind of like that. It's like we only get to see, like, the immediate step in front of us. God is constantly saying, your daily portion, just worry about today. Like, what's right in front of you is another way of saying that. Just the immediate step.
Yeah.
And he's up there in the plane, and he sees the whole scope. And he's like radioing down, you know.
I like that.
Kind of thing. And so what's our role is to position ourselves to hear his voice and to live in response to what he says. And so not only do we have to hear him, so the obvious reading his word, sitting under the teaching of our pastors and authority of our pastors, but then willing to be drawn like a magnet to where it takes us. Because like faith isn't hearing him and going, cool, and then just standing there, you know. And so like who knows?
It's a call to action.
Yeah, what God has for your household. Like I believe that God will save your husband. You just don't know how it's going to happen. And God is radioing down to you like, well, this is the step. I'll take you there, like, and then take you both there. I don't know. Anyway, that's just something I was thinking about. And we can trust in Jesus' promises.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about weeding?
Yeah, this one is like my most shameful, really. I mean, I talked a lot about my selfishness already, but rage is also something that I've struggled with. And like to see it in my own child. I know all toddlers have little rage fits, but to know like that Teddy's is really of me. One of the things that I tell people about is the first time I went to Remnant. I lived downtown. My husband and I had been like broken up for a couple years. I'd moved to Arizona and come back. And we were kind of talking again, but we weren't together. And I was going to Sean and Megan Pyle's community group with Jamie and TJ Hall and some others. And I ended up going out with my husband one day. We were like day drinking. And when I tell the story, I say that someone called the cops on us for fighting. And they ended up seeing like a marijuana bowl in my purse. And I got in trouble. I had to call TJ Hall to pick me up. And then I had to ask Sean Pyle if I could do my community service there. But one thing I realized when I was telling the story is like I was really missing the main point of what was going on there. Because I didn't actually smoke weed at that time. I did start smoking weed a bit after that, sadly. It wasn't my bowl, but the reason they called the police is because I was physically assaulting my husband. He had made me so mad that I was like punching him in the face. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only time that that happened. And I know even my son as a young child saw me slap my husband in the face. And that's like hard for me, like to even admit that he would say things to me that would make me feel like helpless or nothing or not important, and that my response was to use my fists. Like the lack of self-control that I had. So when I was like really praying about it with God, I remember one prayer in particular that I had, and then maybe this also partially led me to Michael Heiser, or why God showed me Michael Heiser, but I said like, God, if I cannot accomplish self-control, whose control am I under? And as I started to see like maybe what the answer to that was, it was really scary. And I'm not saying I would think I was demon possessed by any means, but just like when I realized that there are real influences out there who are like encouraging us to antisocial behavior and to self-destruction and to destruction of each other. But that has been like a real shame point for me in my life. Like, I know my parents are like, where is this coming from? They didn't model that for me. I don't even know where it came from, but it's definitely something I've had to work on. And even though I don't feel a struggle to like control my fists, it is still my gut reaction to just like when I feel like total disrespect or to yell or get mad or get angry and I don't like what I see come out of me. And that's something that God is still working to cleanse me of, that it's not all gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, my mind is like going in all sorts of different places, but I was even going to ask you, is this like a generational sin or
it's not? I mean, maybe not that I know of, certainly not. And my parents, I don't know.
It's interesting though how things can be, the root is still the same, but yeah, like the expression is different. Like I recently met this really nice lady. It was clear that she cared a lot about her appearance, like it was clear that she'd been tanning and she had a lot of makeup on, just very carefully thought about her appearance, I guess. And I happen to know who her daughter is because, well, I don't want to get too detailed. Her daughter is, I guess you could quote unquote say, rebelling against like faith and family. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she might think that the daughter's not putting much care into her appearance, mm-hmm. like maybe rebelling against her mom. But if you have see it with different eyes, she may not yeah. look like her mom, but it's very clear that how she looks and presents herself is very intentional, and whatever, it's probably gripping both of them, whatever that is. And so, yeah, sometimes roots don't always express themselves in the same way. But do you have any thoughts? Like, my thought went to like not being able to control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things like not submit or be under authority. You said that even came as a surprise to you. What was like really down in your heart?
I think like I spent a lot of my life feeling, our adult life anyway, and maybe late teens, like kind of feeling like a doormat. Like, I know lots of women talk about like situations that they've been in, you know, where they didn't speak up. They just like wanted to be over. Luckily, I don't have mm-hmm. a story like that. But I think that is just the idea that that could happen to me is relatable
yeah.
for me, like where I just didn't like just keep my head down, like wanting to be in the background, not wanting to be noticed, and feeling like people took advantage of that. And then just getting to a point where I was like, you think I'm this? Let me show you how nasty mm-hmm. I can be. And then that's not really what what I wanted. I didn't want to be treated a certain way mm-hmm. anymore. And that's what I thought was the answer, I guess. But I don't remember like a certain time. I don't know. I mean, I never thought that I would get there. Like, and these were like, just as I said that, I thought about, I do have a memory of my great grandfather stabbing my great grandmother with a fork in the forearm at dinner one time when I was little. I'm gonna have to ask my parents about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I definitely never saw it from my parents or my grandparents. Like, my dad is like the most gentle. In fact, I remember wishing sometimes, like when I saw like these other shotgun dads, I would call them like, you take my daughter out and I'm going to pull out. Like, dad was like the total opposite. And I think like partially, I mean, just even just seeing how my parents treated my own husband, like most dads would not have been as loving and kind and caring as they were to my husband, like giving him chance after chance, letting him live in their home, like giving him financial opportunities to make changes in his life. And I was both very thankful for that and also questioning, like, why isn't my dad a show? Yeah, you know, yeah. It's so, I don't know, maybe I have some stuff to unpack there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just true that the deeper you press into Jesus, like the light shines brighter and brighter and brighter, and you're like, it is scary in there. And so we have to hold fast to Jesus and his complete and perfect love. And trust him, trust his love for us demonstrated in Jesus. And that's where even, just 2 Peter and 1 John have been meaning a lot to me lately in my mind, is like, I have to cast my mind, well, like the song, to Calvary, whatever, but cast my mind to the promises of God and really believe them, because that's what moves that good kind of action, like the fruit of the Spirit to come forward. When God brings up those dark areas, not to be like, oh, he hasn't saved me, but it's like, no, he wants us to be free from that, so that the pipe's like not clogged up, so that grace can like flow ever more like freely through. Yeah, I'm still working on my own stuff too. So let's just keep praying for each other.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk about your harvest and this beautiful section. You've got so much here. You flooded the paper with the fruits. How do you want to share it?
So it's really funny to me to see like what you're saying, like so many things, because this is what I struggled with the most. I kept thinking like, well, I haven't been faithful for very long. You know, I don't really have a harvest yet. There's nothing. So finally it just came to mind, I think, the fruit of obedience, like what happened when I did start being obedient to God. And then the 12-month difference even in my marriage and motherhood, relationships with my family, new friendships. I was working out of the home. Now I get to be a stay-at-home mom, which turns out was a desire I had in my youth.
Yeah.
I have a child on the way, which is something I've been praying for. And also the other thing is, I was like desperate for women to discuss the Bible with. Yeah. And now I'm part of two Bible study. I don't know. So just like all these different ways that God has blessed me just from turning to him and being obedient. And that's amazing to me.
I mean, that's awesome. Fruit tastes sweet. And what you're sharing just sounds so sweet to me. And who ever saw a fruit tree that's like one apple on it or something? Like, you know, when God bears fruit, his blessing is abundance. It's just always his way. Maybe we don't choose to see it or have eyes or close our eyes, but sounds like you took a little time and asked God to show you where he has blessed you. And he showed you, list is long. I mean, it's really cool. How do you think about all of that?
I'm a little bit in disbelief. Even so, like, I think when I thought about, like, being obedient to God, I just never thought about it as blessing. So that's been amazing. I mean, I want to live out my life in a way that lets him know how thankful I am. And I like it as a reminder to continue being obedient, even back to the training and pruning and practicing section, like, because, you know, here, Sarah Catherine, is what happens when you are obedient to the Lord. Even if it doesn't feel good, even if it doesn't feel like this is what you think is the right way, like, your paths have been wrong for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, it gives me a lot of joy to see that list.
Would you tease out maybe how this is a victory?
Because
you were talking about opposing forces in your life. And so what has God done here?
Okay, yeah. So, this is the opposite, I guess, of what Satan wants for us when I talked about, you know, that there are negative spirits that are kind of whispering for us to be antisocial or suicidal or destructive, both self-destructive and destructive in our relationships or, you know.
Anti-image of God.
Yes, that all of these things counter that my obedience to God has been to be social, to be a servant to others instead of a servant of myself or self-seeking, to honor my husband instead of cut him down. And none of these sound really great even as I am now, but the truth is that all of them have brought me so much joy, and so it is a victory in more ways than one. You know, it's a personal victory because my life is so much better, but it's also a victory for the good side, so to speak.
Yeah, all in Jesus' name, under the banner of his name. All right, Sarah Catherine, you have brought something to share with us all, and I think it's a letter.
It is. It is a letter I wrote to you after you asked me to be on the podcast.
And I love letters.
But it goes like this. Laura, I wonder which one of us was more surprised that God put me on your heart for this podcast. When I hear the stories of faithfulness from the other women who have shared, it seems obvious that I don't belong, and quite honestly, I'm terrified to do it. I've been praying about it anyway, and God is changing my heart. He's reminding me that what I have to share is a story of his faithfulness to me, that he has done a good work in me, and I am a new creation, and he is the ultimate storyteller.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.